Welcome back to the Drain Plug Podcast. This episode is sponsored by TBNation.net. Visit TBNation.net for all your John Boat needs, dry hatches, hydroturf, all that good stuff. Please visit TBNation.net today.
I'm glad to have you back.
Thanks. It's been a while. Kind of not used to this again, I guess.
Yeah, you got to get used to podcasting again.
Get back in the rhythm.
I hope everybody enjoyed my fill-ins. Having Mike and Nick here since my Gingy was gone.
I heard those were really good episodes.
They were good. I think the best part of all was watching Mike try bourbon.
Mike doesn't drink, so I'm sure that's worth watching.
It was funny. I've never heard in my life anybody describe it as, what did he say? He said it tasted like bug spray, lighter fluid, and feet.
Oh, God. What were y'all drinking?
We tried that Willet Rye.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people got a kick out of watching him do that. Nick took it well. Nick's,
did he?
You know, Nick's not a bourbon guy,
right,
or a rye guy. He's more of a Canadian whiskey. But Mike was just like, oh.
It burns.
I thought he was going to have a seizure.
Oh, man.
So our review, we're going to talk about some show stuff tonight, some boat shows, fishing show stuff coming up. But Nick actually provided us with our review whiskeys for tonight. We've got three. The first one we're going to try is from Pendleton. This is the
From Pendleton, by the way.
Oh, all of them are?
All of them, okay. Are. They're just different versions of the Pendleton.
So the first one we're going to try is the We've Got Your Six Military Edition. This is a 2024 and cut with the finest glacier-fed spring water from Oregon's highest peak, Mount Hood.
Sounds fancy.
I hope this is good because I don't like anything Oregon. Except for the trail. The Oregon Trail is pretty awesome. But yeah. Aside from that, there's too much snow and angry people up there. So this is a blended Canadian whiskey. I'm not really a big Canadian whiskey person. I don't even try a whole lot of it. Have you?
What's that one that's the Blanton's knockoff, the Caribou?
Caribou Crossing.
That's a good Canadian whiskey.
All right, I'm going to let you. Let's try that. 80 proof, and this is going to be interesting.
Military edition.
So. What is a is that something that's sold on base?
I think it's more of a part of the proceeds go back to like some military foundation.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's specifically on base or something.
I think my snoz is broken from sniffing high proof bourbon for so long. This just kind of smells like a really light whiskey, and that's it.
Really?
I don't get a whole lot out of it. It's got a little bit of a leafy note. You know, like a fall leaf. That's kind of what I smell. You don't get that heavy.
Yeah, or like a springtime.
Yeah, like a springtime.
Stuff starting to bloom.
And a little bit of earthiness to it. I'm trying to pinpoint exactly what it is that I'm smelling. It's that earthiness. But just really not a whole lot there. It's just kind of there. We'll find out.
It doesn't smell hot.
It's not. It doesn't drink anywhere near my lowest proof bourbon that I have, I can tell you that. It's very smooth and easy to drink.
Yeah.
Not bad. Not my favorite thing in the whole world, but not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So, it is the end of winter, which means boat shows and fishing shows are coming to the
expo
world.
Expo season.
It is expo season. So we, as in me and you, will be doing two in the very near future. We've got the NOE Expo coming up the weekend of February 14th through the 16th, I think it is.
Yep.
And that will be in Cartersville, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 weeks after that, we've got the show in South Carolina. Greenville, South Carolina?
Greenville, South Carolina, yep.
So that should also be a good show. That was also an NOE. This is the first year they've ever done one in South Carolina. So I'm kind of interested to see how that's going to go. Not only being a first show there, but that's one of our hot spots that we get a lot of calls from.
Yep.
Is South Carolina and North Carolina. So I'm curious to see what the turnout's going to be.
And if you are in the area, I hope you guys do stop by because his one in Cartersville is awesome. I mean, that's our favorite show to go to.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely love going to that show. And that's kind of what we want to talk about is not only, you know, what we're going to be doing at the shows, but if you've never been to one and you have the ability to go or you can take off work or spend some, you know, get away with the family, it's not just a fishing and boating expo, I guess, right, if you could say. There's, I wouldn't say there's like a ton of activities for everybody, but it's a great opportunity to go out and see some stuff you would normally never see in person, because the shows that we go to, these NOE expos, they're focused on small business owners.
Yep.
So they're not the Bass Pro Shop type. You're not going to see, you know, the latest and greatest, whatever Cabela's put out this week and Redhead and all the other crap.
Very, it's not mainstream at all. No. It's a lot of hardworking guys that either building lures or have a creative idea that they want to share. The kayak scene is pretty big up there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, sir. There'll be a lot of kayak stuff there. There'll be some inflatable stuff.
They got food trucks. They got concessions there. They've got all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's fun. It's cool to see everyone around with their family and the little kids getting excited, yep, over everything. And
there'll be some bass boats there. There's usually a couple dealers that sell bigger boats like Sea Arcs. And
Carl's Bass Boat won't be there.
Yeah, Carl's Bass Boat won't be.
R.I.P. Sorry, Carl.
If anybody is wondering what we're talking about, our friend Carl that runs the NOE Expo had a really, really nice Vexus. And I say really had a really nice Vexus because some idiot pulled out in front of him and smashed into the side of it and flipped it over. And it is totaled.
Yeah, the boat flipped like 5 times going down the road. Luckily, the truck didn't flip, but
yeah, I'm really sad because we just got done filming a video with him on installing the trolling motor on that Vexus.
The new that was the new Garmin trolling motor.
Yeah, the Garmin Kraken.
Yep.
I hated to see that happen, but hopefully Carl will be getting a new boat.
I'm just glad he's okay.
Yeah.
And that other person's okay, even though they're dummies, but.
One of the other cool things that happens during the show is they host a fishing tournament, mm-hmm, at Altoona, at least the one here in Georgia. I don't know if they're going to do one in South Carolina, but even if you can't fish in the tournament, you can still watch the weigh-in because they do the weigh-in at the show.
Yep.
They leave the lake and they drive all the boats over to, well, they put them on trailers and then take them over to the expo, and they actually do the weigh-in live at the expo. So that's, if you've never gotten to go to a fishing tournament before or see that weigh-in experience, it's a pretty cool opportunity to do that. Yep. And while you're, you know, looking around at different stuff.
And it was fun last year too because the weights were very, very close. I mean, those people, I'd say the top 5 or 6 were all neck and neck.
Really?
Yeah. It was pretty neat.
Well, one of the other things that we wanted to talk about with this show is, you know, not only are we going to be there to show off the stuff that we do, but we're also there to see our fans and customers and people that are interested in our stuff. So I know we don't get to do a whole lot of like meet and greet type stuff.
Yeah.
But if you've ever wanted to come to an event that we were a part of, this is probably one of the best opportunities to do it because you'll have most of us there and you'll be able to meet us and talk to us and see some of the stuff that's going on in the shop, plus see our products. As far as boat build stuff goes, we're going to have 3 boats at the Cartersville show for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have the Light Skiff Air.
Yep.
So if you're thinking about getting into a Light Skiff Air, that's a great opportunity to come and like put your hands on it and actually see it in person before you make that purchase.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have the Sun Dolphin there, the American 12 with the flat floor kit in it.
Yep.
And we'll have the duck boat hopefully done. So if you've been watching on the Tiny Boat Nation YouTube channel, we're working on a duck boat series right now. And that boat that we're actually using for that video is going to be at the show. Mm-hmm. So you'll be able to see it up close and personal.
We'll also have some little things there, you know, hats, T-shirts, our electrical stuff, batteries, stuff like that. Anything you guys have questions on or whatever, you're more than welcome to come up and talk to us about it. And also, we've gotten to know a lot of the vendors that go to these things, too, as yes, far as, like, baits and stuff like that.
Yeah, and we made some really good friends there, too, with some of the vendors.
Great people go to this thing.
Yeah, so, like, just for instance, in the last couple of years that we've been doing this show, we've become pretty good friends with quite a few lure manufacturers that are not big mainstream, you know, everybody in the world knows them.
Yep.
And not only have we developed friendships with them, but we've developed partnerships with them to where, if they ever need anything video-wise or help with, you know, social media and stuff, we're able to provide that. And anytime they, you know, want to, you know, sponsor one of their lures or something, or they want us to take a look at some of their lures or give them advice on things, we're here to do that. So,
we even stock some of them here in our store.
Yep, we do.
And they've been selling pretty good. So,
All right. Well, what did you think about the military edition Pendleton?
We doing a 1 to 10?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to give it probably like a 5 or 6. It's kind of where it's at for me.
Yeah.
I would drink it, but it's not like I'm working 8 hours a day and going home and excited to start drinking it, you know?
I'm just not a Canadian whiskey fan. It's not bad, though. So, yeah. I mean, I give it a solid 5. It's drinkable. If somebody gave me a glass of that, I would drink it without any hesitation at all.
Yep.
It just, for me, it lacks the complexity of a bourbon, but I've also gotten so used to some of the more intense bourbon flavors. I was
about to say, we could be a little snobby at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, everybody has their things. You know, there's Canadian whiskey review channels out there, and people that are really into Canadian whiskey. But so the next one we're going to try is the Pendleton Midnight. This is a 90 proof American brandy barrel finish, and it is bottled by Hood River Distillers. Let's see, what else does it say on here? Full bodied flavor, uncommonly smooth finish.
This is the one I'm excited for simply because it's the darkest liquid out of all three bottles.
I'm guessing why they call it the Midnight.
I really like the, like, I pay attention to the color, you know what I mean?
Yeah. This one definitely has a lot more going on the nose. And on the back it says, our Midnight Edition is dedicated to the Bronco that couldn't be bested, though the best tried, the bucking horse, never met a cowboy he couldn't toss. A true inspiration for this premium blend of whiskeys finished in American brandy barrels. I didn't know Americans made brandy. I thought that was like a French thing or a European thing.
I thought, yeah, that or Irish or something.
Yeah, something. I don't know. All right. Revel in the deep, rich flavor of this high-proof tribute to the coal-colored bronc that will forever stand for the spirit of the American West. It says this Midnight Complex flavor profile features notes of warm cinnamon and nutmeg and a trace of ginger for a full-bodied flavor. Product of Canada. Okay.
Get a little bit of cinnamon in there.
I don't get the cinnamon. I do get some kind of baking spice, though. There's a lot of, like, bakery-type notes to me. This is more of a bready baking spice. Very, very light, though, for a 90. It doesn't taste like it's a 90.
For whatever reason, you know what I feel like this would go good with?
Mm-hmm.
A nice, warm cinnamon roll.
Or a honey bun.
Yeah.
Or exactly, a hot honey bun. I'm not going to lie. That's not my favorite thing in the whole world, but that's pretty darn good. There's a little bit of sweetness there. Like more sweetness than a bourbon, but it's not sugary sweetness. It's more like a fruit sweetness almost. Maybe that's coming from that brandy finish. But I'm not getting a whole lot of.
It's not like a sugar sweetness.
No, it's not like a sugar rush kind of sweetness. That's pretty good though. I'm impressed with that.
Have you been telling the proof? I mean, they're all pretty like around that 90 range. I think 80 to 90 proof.
Yeah, that one's 90. The first one we did is 80. So, and that one actually, I think that one drinks smoother and lighter than the first one.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
I think that one has got more age on it from having the brandy barrel finish, and that first one's a little bit less aged on it. At least it tastes smoother.
Yeah. No, that's good. What are you looking forward to the most coming to the Cartersville show?
I can tell you what I'm not looking forward to, setting up and taking down. That's my least favorite part of going to the show. I feel like I get almost like anxiety getting up there because I know how much crap we got to do to get everything set up, and I always have that fear like we left something important.
Dude, just driving up there alone is almost a chore.
Yeah.
But
and then the packing up at the on Sunday when it's over is always kind of a headache. Mm. I do. All right, this is going to sound really bad. But my favorite part of going to these shows is people watching for T-shirts. I've seen some of the funniest T-shirts I have ever seen in my life at some of these fishing expos, and I'm like, I cannot believe that y'all's mama let you wear that out in public.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some say that about your shirts, too.
Well, and that's why I like it, is because I'm one of those funny shirt wearers, and then I see other people. Like, we went to one. And there's this little kid, he must have been probably like 9 or 10 years old, to come walking up and say he watched this on YouTube. And I looked down and I looked at his shirt, and his shirt said, my dog's smarter than Joe Biden. And I was like, oh my God, I got to get a picture with this kid.
That's awesome.
But we see a lot of funny fishing shirts and stuff like that. I enjoy talking to the people that come to talk to us.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy the tire kickers. We get a lot of those. And that's the thing. It's like, we're not up there to really sell you anything.
We're so, not.
That's something I wanted to address when we talked about this is this show is not your average fishing expo where you've got somebody that's got pallets and pallets and pallets of Amazon return fishing lures that they're selling, you know, a bucket of them for $3.
Yeah.
You're not going to see... you know, a fistful of rods for $25 or seven fishing reels for $30. It's not junk. It's not a flea market, which is one of the reasons that we stopped going to a lot of the other shows because I got fed up with that. Like, we went to one show. I'm not going to name any names specifically, but we went to one show, and we had a booth that was set up in between a lure company, and on the other side of us was what I call a flea market style company. The flea market style company was selling... I'm not kidding at all. They were selling fistfuls of fishing rods, like Zebco's returns or something, for $50. Yeah. As many as you could fit in one fist for $50.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of literally trash cans.
Yeah.
And they were all stuffed in trash cans.
And that's all fine and good. Like, I don't have a problem with them making money. That doesn't, you know, I get it. That's your business. That's what you do.
Yeah.
But when I'm right next to them, and a customer comes walking up, and they're genuinely interested in something that we have on display. Like, at that particular show, it was one of the boats. And he was asking me a question about a boat. But then you got everybody, look at over there. They got as many fishing rods as you could carry for $50. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get somebody to concentrate and have a conversation with you when you got that going on next door.
Yep.
You know, and then you got people over there arguing, like, oh, that's too many. You can't carry that many in one fist. You got to put four of them back. And, you know, you got people over there like, I got this handful of lures, and can I get it for $350 instead of $375? And just that crap gets old.
Yeah.
And these two shows, the NOE shows, are not like that at all. They do not do any businesses that deal with, like, I don't know what you call that.
Thrifting or secondhand.
Yeah,
or
secondhand sales. Or... yeah. Everybody there makes a product and sells it or provides some kind of service, or there's guides and stuff there. But it's all fishing, outdoors related, boating related. You're not going to see a whole row of beef jerky people and people stamping names.
But you might see one or two.
They'll be out in the food area. Yeah, they're not going to be intermingled with the boating companies and the fishing companies. So that's one thing that always drove me nuts about someone, somebody's like expos. So if that's what you're coming is expecting to bring $100 bill and walk out with $700 worth of crap, this is not that kind of show. This is not a place to go wheel and deal and try to do stuff.
It's a lot of educational stuff too.
A lot of it.
I mean, learning about everyone's different baits or how they even got started. You'll see lure companies that you've never even heard of before.
Yes.
And they got great stuff. I mean, and
stuff that you'd never see anywhere else.
And that kid from Tennessee.
Yeah. Flippin' Fish,
dude. Kid was maybe 20 years old.
Yep. Started his own business with his dad. Hand-pouring shaky heads.
Yeah. And he could describe to you every bait, what it does, why it does it, what he added to it, why he took it out. Like, man, and he was just a genuinely good kid. And you could tell that, like, talking to him.
Yeah.
So,
but that's what these style of expos, that's what they allow you to do. You're not standing in line trying to get a deal on a lure. You actually can sit down and talk to the manufacturer of those lures or the people that came up with the idea for it, and they can have a conversation with you about fishing. They can give you fishing tips. They can show you, you know, what processes they use to make their lures. They'll show you everything because they're not sitting there trying to make a sale.
Right.
Speaking of which... you know, another one of my favorite things that we do at every one of these shows is go over to the ATX Crappie Lure booth and play in their fish tank.
Yeah, they got a pretty cool fish tank.
They have if you guys are not familiar with ATX, it's one of the crappie lures that we sell. But the owner, Kyle, he brings in a little small fish tank that's got, like, glow-in-the-dark lights and stuff on it. And they have these little small ice fishing poles with their jigs tied on them. So you can actually go up to the tank and you can sit there and wiggle the jig around and see what kind of action it has.
Yeah.
But I just think it's, like, mesmerizing when they all glow in the dark. I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
It is so fun.
I'll just go there and talk to him for 15 or 20 minutes and sit there and play with the jigs.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
There was even a couple cool apparel companies there and stuff that I didn't know existed. You'll have your rod and reel people, guys that specialize in reel bearings and cleaning reels or
refurbishing. There's some cork guys there.
Yep.
And it's not this is the other thing that I love about this, these NOE Expo shows. They are not geared towards bass fishing. There is a little bit of everything there.
Crappie, catfish.
Striper, trout. Striper. You got fly fishing guys there. You got offshore guys, inshore guys.
And then you have the river guys, so like your shoal bass, your spots. I don't know.
There is something is so for fun. Everyone there, and it's not, you know, like you go to, I feel like when we go to some of the other shows, they're geared in one direction, and it's usually like freshwater lake fishing, and that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. Or big bass boat fishing is kind of how they do it. And this one has something for everybody. What do you think about what was this one called? All right, so what do you think about the Midnight Brandy Barrel Finish Pendleton?
That one I'm closer to a 7.
I agree with you on that one. I think it's a solid 7. I actually like the finish. The more I drank it, the more I started to pick up that fruit barrel note.
For whatever reason, my mind's telling me, like, add ice to that one and see what it's like.
Yeah. I do like that one was an easy sipper, though. That one was lighter and smoother than the first one we tried. Like, that's something I would actually probably drink again.
I think that one would be real good with to mix with, like, a soda or something, you know, like a Coke and whiskey or something.
Cream soda.
Actually, that's probably really good.
Yeah. One of those good ones in the glass bottles.
Yep.
All right, you want to tell us about this one? Because it looks like somebody's already opened it.
Kyle,
did you open the Pendleton
bourbon? We got a new guy named Kyle.
Kyle.
Oh, Kyle.
Like I'm from South Park.
All right. We got a Pendleton straight bourbon aged 10 year. I guess it's called the 1910. Coming in at 90 proof. And it's got a pretty fancy little bottle. Crafted as a tribute to the ruggedness of the West. This one also has Mount Hood Glacier fed spring water. Did you taste the spring water?
I don't know what spring water tastes like.
Oh, my God.
The only spring water I've ever had came out of a bottle.
What? You didn't?
It just said spring water on it. I'm assuming it was spring water.
I've never had it either. This is distilled in Indiana, though, so it is probably an MGP, huh?
Probably.
Letterbox, register, trademark. Yep. Not a whole lot of information on the label, but...
So it says it's a 10-year, though, right?
It is a 10-year. So this, I believe, would be the oldest one.
That one didn't have an age on it, did it?
I don't think so. I like the nose on this one the best. This one makes me... it feels a little more homier, this one.
Instantly, I get longleaf chewing tobacco. Well, that's the first thing I pick up.
Maybe that's why.
It smells like Levi Garrett.
It kind of does, doesn't it?
It's just like a hint of it. It's very subtle, but it's just like, okay, it smells like bourbon and a little bit of Levi Garrett.
Old Levi's here.
Maybe a slight bit of sweetness, but nothing crazy. No, it's not crazy complex. It's just earthy and tobacco. And a little bit of barrel.
Yeah.
That's it. Nothing crazy.
Down the hatch.
Okay, that's more of your traditional bourbon-y flavors, but it is very sweet.
I'm not getting any sweetness.
I mean, a lot.
I'm getting a lot of oak, like dry.
Yeah, it's oak. It's very dry. It's a super. It dries your throat out instantly.
That was quick, too.
But it is super sweet to me. I think that's like sweet tobacco. That's what I'm picking up.
Really?
Mm-hmm. What was the proof on that?
90.
It doesn't. It drinks hotter.
I feel like it's at least 100, yeah.
Not bad. I'm not mad at it.
Thank you, Nick.
Yeah, thank you, Nick, for sending these to us. We enjoyed it. This is it's been a good little taste test because I personally have not tried a whole lot of Canadian whiskeys. But I also haven't tried a whole lot of stuff from MGP.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's where that's from. Yeah. It's different. It's not my normal flavor profile that I would go for.
Right.
But I'll definitely drink that again. It's not bad.
So even if you're not able to make it to, like, the NOE Expo or something like that, like, try to find – I guess what we're trying to say is try to find something local to you. Because you never really know what's going to be there. You don't know what you're going to learn. You know, it's a great time. This is the season, like usually January and February, sometimes in March, I'd say, is when these expos and events are all going on. So if you do see one that's close to you, I highly recommend going to it because it's very fun, especially if you're new to bat or to just fishing in general or mm-hmm. owning a boat or whatever it might be.
Just kind of have to have some expectation before you walk in the door if you've never been to one of exactly what to expect.
Right.
You just have to kind of look at who's going to be there. At some of the bigger shows, you're going to see a big, broad range of things there, not just fishing. You're going to have clothing companies there and people that are selling trinkets and
if you're
fudge
into swim baits, that is 100% the place to go.
Yeah.
Those guys show up. For expos and shows.
The custom handmade swim
baits.
Oh,
my gosh. Yeah. It is.
Oh man. Yeah, it's wild.
It's so cool.
But, yeah, so, like, you'll go to some of these bigger shows, and you'll see a mix of things. There will be, like, ATV companies there sometimes. You'll see a lot of car dealerships there. You'll see boat dealerships there. That's usually, in some of the bigger shows, that's what takes up the most space in the show is the boat dealerships.
Yep.
And they'll have a lot of different boats out there. And then they'll have some actual boat brands there. Like, I know we went to one show and Bullet was there, and they had like four or five Bullet boats out, and then they had a couple of reps that were sitting around talking.
I remember those Bass Cats at
yeah,
East Tennessee.
Bass Cats were there.
I'm sad that we missed that one too.
Insurance companies. You'll see gutter companies.
Leather makers.
Yeah, people that make custom leather. You'll see a lot of different stuff. And it's not a bad thing to visit some of these vendors that I'm talking about that do the flea market type stuff or the mm-hmm. secondhand type stuff, but just know that you're getting secondhand stuff
right.
or stuff that was returns or overstock or whatever like that. Now, then when those shows get busy, some of the best booths to go talk to are your small mom and pop businesses that make custom baits of any
right.
kind, because everybody's going to be, you know, trying to catch deals. And when you're over there talking to these smaller companies, that's what you're going to, you know, you're going to have more time to talk to somebody and actually get some information to maybe learn a thing
yeah.
while you're talking to them.
Yeah.
And then you'll see a lot of, there will be quite a few tackle shops at some of the bigger shows that sell everything. And they're going to have all kind of stuff on sale and buy one, get one free, and, you know, buy a fistful of this or a bucket full of that.
And if you go early, you might see somebody that you recognize. I mean, at East Tennessee Fishing Show, we saw Tactical Bassin,
yeah,
Bass
we saw Creek.
Creek, oh man, yeah,
yeah,
that
Creek
awesome.
Was there. We hung out with him for like an hour.
Creek, Austin Frostin, I think, was at one of them. Frostin Austin, the dude that's buddies with Milliken.
Oh yeah, yeah,
he was at one of them. Yeah, so you never know who you're gonna run into when you go to these things either.
Yep.
So,
and the, one other thing that I'll add to these shows, especially like the NOE show that we go to, is a great opportunity to go sit in on seminars and training classes. They
yeah.
have them pretty much around the clock most of the day. There's something going on. So even if you're there for a couple of hours, there, at some point during that couple of hours that you're there, somebody's going to be having a 30-minute or hour-long session. Like, we went to one down in South Georgia, and a guy did an hour-long class just on forward-facing sonar
yeah.
for beginners, for people that don't know how to set them up. They had another company that rigs boats there, and they were talking about boat rigging and setting
yeah.
up trolling motors and graphs and wiring and all that kind of stuff. Then they had some expert fishermen come in. Captain Mack was at one, and he's talking
yeah.
about striper fishing for like an hour. That was really cool to listen to.
Yeah.
There's a range of people that are going to be there to do those seminars. And seminars are, you learn some pretty cool stuff in there.
Yeah, you do. And it's free. I mean, well, except for admission, but.
Yeah, you pay to get in.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, pay to get in. But other than that, it's free, it's fun. It's family friendly, and we would love to see y'all there. If you guys do come and you hear this podcast, let us know. I'd be interested.
Yes, if you are a podcast listener and you come to either the NOE Expo in Cartersville or in Greenville, South Carolina, come up and say hello. We would love to meet some of the people that listen to us, because we don't get a lot of comments on the podcast. We
no.
do a few on YouTube, but like on Spotify and Google and Apple Podcasts, there's really not a way to comment.
Right.
So we just don't get anything from anybody. We know that people are listening because we see it.
That and the guys walking into our store.
Yeah, the people walking in the
store.
We've
had people bring us bourbon.
Yeah. We actually, on the next podcast, we got a bourbon gift from one of our people that came in. One of our customers brought us one to try out because he listens to the podcast and was like, hey, you guys should try this and do a review on it. So
building his boat right now.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else you want to add? Anything new going on?
No, we will have the new auto boat at both shows.
Yes.
So if you're interested in seeing the new Gen 2 auto boat, which we'll just go ahead and throw that out here real quick. The first batch came in 2 days early. We stayed here for like 16 hours that day, and we packed 300 packages and got them out the door.
We shut down everything.
Yeah, we didn't answer the phones. We didn't do nothing. Sure. We just packed all those stupid auto boats and got them out the door.
Folding, flipping, taping.
Yeah.
Sticking, printing.
We won't have any for sale at the show, unfortunately, because the next batch is not due until March. But we will have some display ones there so that people can see it and touch it and play with it. And you can kind of get an idea if it's something that you really want to get into.
We'll show you what app to go ahead and pre-download, you know, before you get it.
Yep. But. And so far, everybody's been pretty happy with it. The firmware update works.
Yeah.
We opened one up right as we were taking the pallets off the truck and tried the firmware update, and it did work. So that's good news. But yeah, we'll have that there. We'll have some boats there. We'll have some of our products and stuff there. We'll bring a few hats and t-shirts and stuff. If you guys want to grab a Tiny Boat Nation hat or t-shirt, maybe some stickers or something, we'll have some different stuff there. We'll have some turf samples.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of what else we're going to bring. We should probably make a list before we go. So
yeah, we need to. But we are working on our set right now, which is looking mighty fine.
Yeah, Ryan came up with an awesome idea for like a display, and it looks, you know, very professional. We've always gone
and winged it so bad. I'm really excited for this year because of that. But
we put a little planning into this one to actually try to make it look nice. The last couple of years that we've done this, we've just brought a bunch of stuff and just thrown it out there. And I think it caused some confusion with people because they walk up and, like, we're not really selling anything. We're just there to educate and show off the products that we sell on a website. So people walk up and they're like, I don't really know what's going on here. You got, like, electric outboards. There's a trolling motor over here. There's tats and T-shirts and there's some turf. And I don't know what this thing is, but that was when we had the mill haul. People were like, what's this?
This is a plastic thing with lids in it.
Yeah, we just get some odd looks. Yep. So hopefully, I think this year's going to go a lot better. We got a professional looking setup that's going to draw people in. It's very flashy. It looks
lights,
cool.
Lights, TVs.
Yeah. The only thing we need is Mike and his bedazzled jeans there to attract people.
Kind of like a disco ball.
If we get those LED lights on our display going and they kind of reflect off of his bedazzles on his jeans.
Maybe we can work something. Maybe we just hang the jeans up somewhere and shine a light at
them. We could. Oh, maybe we can get Mike to show up to one of these.
Dude, you ain't getting Mike to show up to one of these.
I can't help it that he's antisocial.
I know.
Nick said he did want to come to one. I don't know which one he's going to try to
I think
fly
he wants
in
to go for the South Carolina one.
He wants to go to South Carolina. Yeah. So that'll be a good one. And you get to, if you, you know, Nick was on a couple of podcasts. You guys want to meet him, he'll be at one of them. We'll let you know.
Yep.
And I'll leave the, if I remember, if you're watching this on YouTube, in the show notes on the other podcast, I'll try to leave the expo dates and website down there so that you guys can check it out and find out about parking and all that stuff. And I know they don't charge to park, but at least you'll have the dates and the time. So I don't know about the South Carolina show, but I know the Georgia show opens on Friday afternoon at 2, I believe, and runs till 6. Saturday it opens up really early in the morning and runs all day long, and then Sunday starts at like 8 or 9,
yeah.
Something like that, and then runs until 4 or 5?
4 or 5, yeah.
Yeah, so you have plenty of opportunity.
Officially close at 5, yeah.
Yeah, so.
But anyways, guys, thank you for listening to this episode of the Drain Plug Podcast. Please make sure to check out tbnation.net. Leave us a review on Google or Spotify. And if you're on YouTube, please comment because it helps a lot. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. We appreciate each and every one of you. Hopefully, we'll see you guys at one of these shows.
And don't forget your drain plug.
Your drain plug.
I did forget mine the other day.
Oh, God.
Only because it got ripped out of the back of my boat.
You should have been listening to our podcast on the way to lake.
I should have. You know that day that me and Dennis decided to go fishing? It was 37-mile-an-hour winds. Yeah. Well, I was trying to park the boat at the dock so that I could go get the truck or Dennis could go get the truck. And the wind blew the boat into the dock and, like, up underneath the dock, the back end. Where the pods are, went underneath the dock, and it ripped a drain plug out. And I had no idea. So we got to put the boat back on the trailer, and as he's pulling the trailer out, I can hear. I'm like, what is that noise? And I look back there, and there's just steady streams coming out of both of the pods. No. They are completely filled up full of water, and the boat did not even, I didn't even know it. It didn't sink. It wasn't squatting in the back. It wasn't doing nothing.
Jeez.
So, yeah, I had to get some new drain plugs because the next time I went out, I forgot that I didn't have two more drain plugs to replace the ones that got ripped out of the boat dock.
Have a good night, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
See you.